Hello and welcome back to MotoGP Banter India. My name is Varun and this is episode 12 of season 2. Now this has already been a crazy season because I've recorded way more episodes than what I did in season 1. Unfortunately, last two episodes jo record hue the, they've been with a bit of a gap because work's catching up, things are opening up slowly and traveling chalu ho gaya, work chalu ho gaya, shoots have started. So the frequency that I had maybe 3 months ago when this season started, when you compare it to that, it's kind of settled down a bit. But I'm trying to allocate as much time as I can for this particular thing because I really love doing this. I completely enjoy doing this and I will continue doing this for the rest of the season and the many years and the seasons to come. So this episode is happening in the midst of the MotoGP summer break where these guys are out for over a month. And when we talk about MotoGP in particular, this is the time where contracts are negotiated. This is where riders either sign a new contract with their existing manufacturer or they are put up for sale in the market and other manufacturers can look at a potential buy. And one of the main things that has happened just before the summer break, or in fact, just 2 days into the summer break, that's been Maverick Viñales' dramatic exit from Yamaha. I'm going to talk about that in detail in just a bit. But I think the last two races have been absolutely fantastic. I mean, I've been meaning to cover those races, those two races in a sort of a summary, but it's been amazing. You know, especially when you look at how Sachsenring went for Marc Marquez and just his comeback and just the run of emotions that he had over the last year and a half, going through all that in terms of operations and, you know, physio and rehab and nerve damage and people pointing a finger at him and saying, you won't be the same Marc Marquez that you were, you know, all those years ago. And he came back with a bang and he showed why he is the king of the ring. And when you look at the past history of Marc Marquez and Sachsenring, it's been a wedding that, you know, that cannot look at divorce. And they've been together. And that is why when I was fixing up my team for the MotoGP Fantasy League that I play, I just before qualifying one started, I had Morbidelli in the team. And I was like, I'll just remove him and just get, for the heck of it, just get Marquez in and see what happens. And you know, the fan in me spoke and I was like, chalo karke dekhte. So Morbidelli went out, Marquez came in and scored good points there. So I still didn't want to. So there are two tiers basically in Fantasy League. There's the gold tier and there's the silver tier. So gold tier mein there are riders who are your primary riders and silver tier are your secondary riders. So I still put him in the silver tier because meko laga tha ki chalo theek hai. He's, you know, he's going to come back and there's no chance, but I still gave it that thought of a fan and said Marc Marquez might win this, and it was just money on jackpot ho gaya. So Sachsenring was great, and after Sachsenring in the next 5 days the entire crew moved to the Dutch TT for the Dutch TT at Assen, and that's again a very very technical track because and it's one of the tracks that I quite enjoy playing when I'm playing MotoGP 2020. I don't have 21 yet. I play MotoGP 20 most of the time. But MotoGP 21 bhi khareedna hai, or maybe once the price drops in the next 2-3 months, I'll pick it up on PS, on the PS store that is there online. But Dutch TT again, I just didn't have time to change the team in MotoGP Fantasy, and I ended up going with the same team. So I have Quartararo and Oliveira as the primary riders and Pecco and Marquez as my secondary riders. And I was just kind, and because I was involved in a shoot over the weekend, I just couldn't keep an eye on what's happening and who's performing well. And by the time I could actually go ahead and do the change, Viñales was doing absolutely great. Now, Viñales has been very erratic in terms of form over this entire season. You know, started off Qatar with a bang and then kind of faded. And even when he used to be, a 1-2-3, used to qualify first, second or third, come race day, something used to happen. Instincts didn't kick in, the bike didn't feel right, and just things didn't work for him. So just to get him in the team and bet on him using those points was, I just can't do it. And I've tried doing that in the past, you know, in the earlier part of the season. And this time around, nahi karna hai. I'll still go with Marc Marquez because, see, he's either going to crash, he's going to make his way to the podium, or, you know, he's going to win it. So I kept him there. And surprisingly, when you see what he's done, what he did at the Dutch TT till Saturday was phenomenal, you know, topping three of the four sessions and pole. And it was meant to be. So him and the bike were doing absolutely fantastic. Come race day, almost had a bad start. And I was like, boss, ye to honi wala. You know, Vinales is going to fall back. But clawed his way to the front, ultimately ended up finishing second. Quartararo winning the race, stretching his lead to, I think, about 31 or 34 points. I don't remember it correctly. But that's been the story of pretty much the entire season. Quartararo is coming out very, very strong. And there was a point where people are like, hey, Marc Marquez is going to come back and win this. It's not going to happen, because when you see what's happened this season, riders have improved. Their bikes have improved as well. Except for Suzuki, whose mechanical side of things has largely remained unchanged. The rest of the manufacturers have improved by quite a lot. KTM's got a new chassis, and Miguel Oliveira is performing fantastic. Absolutely, he's a beast on that motorcycle right now, and he's doing his absolute best. So he's also a force that needs to be reckoned with in the coming races to come, in the coming seasons as well, because he and the frame and the bike and the feedback from the riders, feedback from him, feedback from the team, feedback from Danny Pedrosa, who's been such an integral part of this whole KTM campaign. I think when all of this has come together, the KTM team is nicely shaping up. Now, let's talk about what's happening in terms of contracts. And for that, I actually have to look at my phone. So while you guys can't see, I actually have my phone open. And when you look at what the 2022 season is looking like, it's kind of looking very dramatic. We'll quickly wrap up the factory teams first. So we'll start off with Honda. Marc Marquez and Espargaro are sorted for the year 2022, and they are going to continue with Honda. So Honda's out of the picture. The factory team is out of the picture. Then Suzuki, you've got Rins and Mir. Rins, again, he's not been the Rins that we have seen in the past couple of seasons. He's still, he got injured and, you know, things just started going down south for him. But Rins also has a contract till 2022. So maybe next year, Suzuki, there might be some drama. There might be some change. But for now, Suzuki is also sorted. So Mir and Rins are going to be a part of that clan. Ducati is also sorted. So Pecco Bagnaia and Jack Miller are going to be constant for Ducati for the year 2022. Before I talk about Yamaha, we all know what the story is, but KTM as well. KTM, Brad Binder got a massive contract under his belt, so he's sorted for the next 3-4 years. So Binder and Oliveira are aligned perfectly for the year 2022. Pramac Ducati has got Jorge Martin and Johan Zarco, who's been an exceptional rider this season. Martin also, before the injury, was doing really well. But Johan Zarco, come what may. And there was this really cool thing that Simon Krefa said on Sunday when the race got over. And it was live when he said it. And he said that Johan Zarco, come what may, whatever happens on a Friday or a Saturday, Johan Zarco is there on a Sunday doing his absolute best. Absolute best. He's just there. He's trying to score points. He's trying to win this race. Somewhere, somehow, he finds a way to make things happen on a Sunday. And that is absolutely fantastic. I still want to see the backflip. And I don't think that's really far away, because he's having a great season so far. So Pramac is out of the picture. They've got Gresini. Inea Bastianini and Fabio Di Giantonio, who's going to upgrade from Moto2 and join Bastianini. They're going to form the Gresini MotoGP team, which is like a new team. You've got LCR Honda again, Taka Nakagami, and Alex Marquez are going to be there for the year 2022, hosting the LCR colors. Again, Nakagami as well, I think he's running out of time. He needs a big result this year itself, because if that doesn't happen, then it's going to be very difficult for Nakagami to have control over his seat in the next season, or not in the next season, but in the 2023 season. So he needs to really get something. He needs to get things right very, very quickly. Now let's see what's open. Yamaha's open. Quartararo is sorted. The team's very happy with the way he's performing, the way results are pouring in, the way points are being racked up. So Quartararo is extreme. The team's very happy with Quartararo. Quartararo, likewise, you know, he's getting the necessary things done, and the team's responding to that. So superb fit there, Quartararo and Yamaha. Vinales leaving has put a little black spot there. Now the question is, where is Vinales going? Before I get there, let's quickly see what else is remaining. Aprilia has got Aleix Espargaró doing a fantastic job on that Aprilia RSGP. He's found a way to sort things out, and through the years with the with the feedback and years of testing, the Aprilia RSGP is finally a much more competitive motorcycle. Just looking at the results that Aleix has been pulling out, you know, in the past, in fact this season, he's been pulling out some incredible results. So the Aprilia is also a very well sorted bike, and next year it's going to be a much better motorcycle than what it is this year. Now that seat is empty. VR46 team Aramco, which is newly formed, which is going to be the new team for next year, which is going to be based on two Ducatis, that's empty. Those two seats are empty. Petronas, of course, Rossi is still a question mark, and most likely he's going to announce his retirement in the weeks to come. That leaves Franco Morbidelli alone. And finally, the Tech 3 team, Petrucci, there's no update on his contract. There's no update on Eker Lecuona's contract as well. But Remy Gardner's going to make his way from Moto 2 to MotoGP. So there are a lot of places that are left open, a lot of MotoGP riders that still have the potential to shuffle for next year's grid. But there's also a lot of potential in the Moto 2 category. And I'm sure it's not over yet. There are going to be people who are going to be joining the MotoGP lineup from Moto 2. One of the main riders that I feel is going to make a move is going to be Raul Fernandez. Now, where he makes a move is a bit of a question. I think the Tech 3 team will need one experienced rider. And for me, I think that rider is going to be Petrucci. Petrucci is probably going to renew his contract for one more year and still try to figure things out with KTM and join hands with Remy Gardner. And that's going to form the Moto3 team. I'm not sure if Lecuona's going to get a chance to renew his contract, and that will mean the end of his MotoGP time. Petronas, Franco Morbidelli has been very vocal about how he's not happy with the 2019 setup in spite of being a runner-up last year. So he had a fantastic 2020 season, and this year it's been sort of a yo-yo thing for him. But he needs to be on that 2021 setup. He needs to be on the factory setup, and he's the one who's giving them a good result every single time. So it's very important for a guy of that caliber to get a machine that can yield results, that can yield those points, that can propel the manufacturer or the brand to a new high. And I honestly feel that Franco Morbidelli has the talent and the potential to do that. So what I feel is that Petronas will let go of Morbidelli. Maybe he becomes Quartararo's teammate next year. That means there are still two places left. There are still two places left in Petronas Yamaha. Yamaha will have Quartararo and Morbidelli. I think that's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. The Aprilia rumors of Vinales, the more I read about this online and the more I see esteemed journalists and publications writing about this, I think that it's coming. Aprilia and Vinales will join hands together. That means Aleix Espargaró will have a teammate in the form of Vinales next year. So where does that leave Dovizioso? Well, Dovizioso, again, at his age, when you look at how there are very few riders, Valentino Rossi being one, you can, it's very, very difficult to maintain that level of physical how do I say this? That level of physical endurance, that level of mental strength. Because as you age, your reflexes get slow. Your body does not perform as well as, say, a 20-year-old's body does. And you have to take a break. So I don't know if Dovizioso is going to make a comeback. Of course, he's testing the RSGP every now and then. And he's got his own share of feedback. But I don't know where, if the rumors are true, if Vinales ends up joining Aprilia, then I don't know where Dovizioso goes. So for now, I think we'll keep Aleix Espargaró and Vinales together for Aprilia. For me, it's going to be Fabio Quartararo and Morbidelli in Yamaha. And that leaves us with four seats. So you've got Aramco's, you've got two seats in Aramco, and which is VR46, which is Valentino's team for MotoGP, and you've got two seats in Petronas. Now, if you look at Petronas and how they are doing in Moto2, you have Jake Dixon, and you have got Xavi, what's his name? I'm just really blank right now. But two Petronas riders in Moto2, I'm just quickly going to go and go online and check who this rider, like Xavi Vier. Ah, come on, that's shameful of me. Okay, Xavi Vier is a Moto2 rider, and with Darren Binder, who's going to upgrade himself from Moto3 to Moto2, there is going to be a void. So I don't know if Petronas, the team of Petronas takes that call and, you know, decides to upgrade one of their riders. So I don't know if Jake Dixon moves out. I don't know if Xavi Vier moves up to Petronas. But here's the thing. There are super, super talented individuals who are a part of the Moto2 category right now. One of them, who I know will most likely make a jump, that individual is going to be Bezzecchi. Bezzecchi is definitely going to make that move to Moto2, and the Aramco second seat will be filled up with Luca Marini. So I feel Luca Marini and Bezzecchi, who have been a part of the Sky VR46 Moto2 team, they are going to form the MotoGP Aramco VR46 team for the year 2022. I still have two options for Petronas, which are quite open. One of them, I feel, is going to be Raul Fernandez. I think he is just too talented. And mind you, Raul Fernandez is a rookie for this year. And he is absolutely killing it this season. The way he came from 9th to 1st and just showed everybody why he deserves a chance to be a champion for the year 2022 just shows that... just shows his potential. And for me, I think he absolutely deserves a seat for the MotoGP season. Now, what's going to happen is there's still going to be one place left in the Petronas Yamaha team. So, I don't know who is going to take that place. But if you look at who's first, there's Remy Gardner who's first. Fernandez is second. Bezzecchi is going to be in the VR46 team. Sam Lowes, I think, I don't want to call it too old, but I think I think Petronas as a team has always appreciated talent that is young. They are the brand that supports young people. So I don't think Sam Lowes makes that cut. But here's the thing. Joe Roberts, there were rumors of him joining the Aprilia team for this year. But he said, hey, you know what? I'm not going to be a part of the MotoGP season, MotoGP clan yet. I'm just going to wait one more year in the Moto2 team and see how I fare. So Joe Roberts is a potential candidate who might be a part of Petronas. But again, that depends on how good the contract is and what he's getting out of it. It shouldn't be a case of any of the Moto2 riders getting a setup which is 2 years old. You know, usually some of the satellite teams, of course, get a year old setup, which means satellite teams will most likely get the 2021 setup. But if somebody's getting a 2022 setup, then I don't think it makes a lot of sense. Xavi Vier again is a very good contender. Augusto Fernandez, again, is doing really well. So I think one of the three riders, for me, it's going to be Augusto Fernandez, Javi Veer, or Joe Roberts, who's going to make that cut and join the Petronas team. So in a nutshell, if I just go and look at what this entire lineup is going to look like. So for me, it's going to be Vinales and Espargaro in Aprilia. Red Bull factory is going to have Binder and Oliveira. Ducati factory is going to have Bagnaia and Miller. Honda factory is going to have Marc Marquez and Paul Espargaro. Yamaha is going to have Fabio Quartararo and Morbidelli. Suzuki is going to have Mir and Rins. VR46 is going to have Luca Marini and Marco Bezzecchi. Petronas is going to have Raul Fernandez and Joe Roberts or Javi Veer or Augusto Fernandez. Gresini is locked, so Bastianini and DG Antonio. Pramac is locked, Zarco and Martin. LCR is locked, Nakagami and Marquez. Remy Gardner will most likely have his mate in the form of Danilo Petrucci because they require some experience, someone who's tested that KTM, who's given them real race experience. So I think Petrucci renews his contract. But that's what the lineup looks like, is what I feel. I don't know where that puts Dovizioso, but I think a lot of these things are going to be going to unfold in the coming weeks. Also, Rossi's retirement is imminent. I mean, you cannot take that away from him. I also feel it's unfair for him to stay in this sport for so long. I mean, I might sound a little harsher, and I'm nobody to judge. I mean, he's a great rider. He's still being super competitive. But there are so many young, talented riders that are rising up the ranks, and they deserve a chance. And holding on to that seat for one more season, I don't think will make a lot of sense. So I feel Rossi's going to announce his retirement probably during the end of this summer break or during one of the press conferences once the summer break is over. But an exciting, you know, second half of the season remains. Austria is going to hold two races. Yamaha's is going to, you know, we'll see how Yamaha's adapt to that situation. So it's going to be a fun season for sure. This is episode 12. That's it from me, from my end. I'm going to have guests, as many guests as I can in the coming episodes. And I really hope to do that. So if you want to have a chat, then drop a DM. I'll be more than happy to have you as a guest on MotoGP Banter India. If you like this and if you have friends who do not know about this podcast, then please share a link with them. It'll mean a lot to me. And on a very positive ending note, let me just quickly remind you, we have crossed 1,000 listens for this podcast. It's not a lot. I agree it's not a lot. But for me, this means the world. It's amazing to see 1,000 listens. And it's all because of you guys. I mean, enthusiasts who have been a part of this podcast since the very beginning. From last year, in fact. It just started off as something that I used to do casually. But now I started enjoying it a lot more. So thank you so much for being there. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being a part of those 1,000 views. I really, really appreciate it. There are going to be more episodes. Of course, the plan is, like I said, to get more guests. That is part A of the plan. But part B of the plan is to also increase frequency of these podcasts. Unfortunately, my equipment's also upgraded, so I can't be at a shoot and, you know, get into a corner and plug in my mic and get this thing sorted. I need to be at home to really kick things or have a direction in the right sense. So I try to do this as much as I can. I will try to do this as much as I can. But for now, it's a goodbye from me. Thank you so much for listening to episode 12 of MotoGP Banter India. If you have anything else that you want to listen to, you can drop a DM on my Instagram channel, which is @VarunPainter, or you can just drop a comment on one of the posts that I post. But for now, final goodbye. Thank you so much. My name is Varun Painter, and I will see you later.